That's how it sounded last night in South Florida, in Central Florida, and in Boston there. We mixed it up for you here this morning, give you a taste of everything there. The Lightning guys are funny to listen to. That guy goes nuts.
I want a Doug Plagan's meltdown like that at some point during the series.
Yeah.
Right?
Zach, they're going to need to do a whole lot here. If you're just joining us, Hollywood and Zach are in for Joe here this morning. That's Ed producing the program, putting all that together for you here. So we had some great stuff there. Not so great on the ice and on the hardwood. And I started with this at the 6 o'clock hour. Zach, I'll start with it here in the 7 o'clock hour. You had your choice last night, which way you like it. You can get it slow and painful with the heat. And I stuck around the whole, I turned it off a few minutes early. I was like, those fans leaving for the exits. I turned it off a few minutes early, but I stayed in there, man. They got it to 17 in the third quarter. I go, oh my gosh. All they got to do is get it to 12,
right,
and then,
right,
you know, by the fourth quarter, we're going to have a shot, and that obviously didn't happen. Then the Panthers, man. The Panthers, as the Heat game was getting out of hand, you flip back over to the Panthers game to see, all right, great, we're heading to overtime. And with 3.8 seconds to go, the puck sent into the Panthers zone, and I hate to do this, man, Mackenzie Weegar, though.
Can't hate to do it. It happened.
Yeah, it's not fun to single one guy out, though, Zach, especially when, you know, look, you're not going to win. You got to score more than one goal.
Right.
You're just not going to win
We could literally point to the fact that that was the biggest play of the game, obviously, because it lost. But let me tell you, go through the entire game in general, and someone sent this on Twitter to me last night, two milk cartons, and I know that we shouldn't, like, I remember I brought it up, like, last week or the week before, and Joe said, I don't think we should, you know, people talk about that anymore. These two guys are missing. Huberdeau and Barkov, your two best players. Huberdeau had a record-setting season for this team. Barkov, who missed a ton of games and still had a really good season for this team. And both guys have been totally absent, ghosted, during this playoff so far. You need your stars to play, and I say this, and you get on us every time we say it in this room. You need your stars to play like stars. You need Jimmy Butler to go out there and score 30 a night in the playoffs because that's the only way to win. You need Barkov and Huberdeau to have big games, and they have been lost.
Well, listen, nobody appreciates, as Joe has left the speakers on
always
the computer,
does.
Nobody appreciates generic coach speak like me, so I do
stars
I do like
gotta
that,
play
but,
like stars, that's right.
Yeah, so Mackenzie Weegar, if you missed it, he supposed to be right there on the guy in the middle of the ice for the Lightning, and he goes to try to chase the puck behind the net and leaves the middle of the ice unattended. Puck makes its way out front, game set, and not match yet, Zach. But
just clear the
puck. It's getting close.
It's 3 seconds left.
The Cats are in big trouble as that series will head back to Tampa. They'll go Sunday and Monday. They'll get a little back-to-back action here because the NHL, not fans of us here in South Florida, apparently.
I don't understand. Didn't Gary Bettman say that, like, he's excited that there's, like, a Florida series and, like, they're going to hype it up and Tampa's won two straight cups and the Panthers are the number one overall team in the NHL. Look how great this series is going to be. Yeah, let's put them on the same night as the Heat and let's give them the only back-to-back in the rest of the playoffs for the NHL. That seems about right. I mean, what are they thinking?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it does suck to have both of the games on the same night. It is tough because you like to get, like, at least if you're, you know, me, like, I don't like to just be the casual, like, have it on one screen, have the other thing on the other screen and go back.
I like to
kind of get immersed in a game and listen to what the analysts are saying. And because you just don't get a feel for the game going back and forth. It's not, to me, not ideal, but look, it is what it is, and like Joe ripped us for it, we just should be happy to have both of our teams in the playoffs.
That's
and,
fine. I get
at this point,
that.
Zach, it's while we do, because I don't know how much longer the Panthers could be done by Tuesday morning,
right,
if they don't get one in Tampa. And you know, listen, I'd love to sit here this morning and tell you I think the Panthers are going to come back.
I'm nervous about the Panthers.
I don't think they will.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
I think the Panthers are really up against it right now. And I'm going to be quite honest. I think the Heat are in big trouble. And I know that, you know, people want to, you know, want everything to be positive and, you know, the Heat are going to be fine. And, let you know, Zach, the Heat are in big trouble right now because the Celtics are very, very tough when they have that full complement of guys. And I think what you saw last night, more so than what Marcus Smart did on the stat sheet, and he was great. He was really great last night. And Al Horford, I thought, made a huge impact, him coming back into the lineup too. But what that did was it took a little of the pressure off of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and it just allowed those guys to go out and just dominate. And they were the two best players on the floor last night, I thought, in that game. Jimmy Butler, you know, did the best he could. You know, the game
Jimmy
kinda,
had a good game.
He, well, did he, though, Zach? I mean, the game kind of
29 points.
Yeah, but the game was out of hand very early, and obviously he was still able to score some, which is fine, but – the game got out of hand really quick, man.
It did.
He went up 10. They were up double figures midway through the first, and I don't know, the wheels just came off.
It's
a
ridiculous.
Rare thing. It's not something you see often. They said that was the biggest halftime lead that Boston like ever had on the road in like the 200 years that they've been playing basketball.
I don't know how many playoff games the Celtics have played in where they've been up 70-45
yeah.
at a certain point. So I believe that stat, actually, because that is a – that's a blowout. That's you playing Sacramento on a Tuesday night and no one cares about the game. That shouldn't be. I mean, this is like the Phoenix Suns game the other night. When you know, like their game seven or whatever. It's like they didn't show. It's like the Heat just forgot in the first half how to play basketball. And by the time they kind of played basketball, it was too late.
The most shocking part of it to me, and somebody texted this in earlier. They asked, does Boston shoot this well again? And my answer to that would be, does Miami play that poorly on defense again? Because you play like that on defense, and I don't care who you're playing in the NBA, they're going to knock down shots.
Right.
Guys, look, guys can shoot. Every team, guys can shoot. Okay, but especially when you get this Boston team that has guys that are the real deal.
They went 20
like
for
those,
40 from three-point land.
They are going to, if you defend like you did last night, how many guys were open last night? That one extra pass that they make, whether it's you know Tatum or Pritchard,
right.
you know,
and
or,
someone was
or
wide
Grant
open.
Williams right. in the corner, who they never seem to want to cover. You play defense like that, and you're done if you're the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat need to play better defensively. This is not about – and here's the text that comes in, Zach. Is anyone going to talk about Bam? The guy took six shots in a game, a playoff game. Something is wrong with him. He cannot be depended on. He's soft and all this, and needs to go. That's not.
I don't know about needs to go,
no,
but
no,
I agree
listen,
with the front part of that.
Here's the problem, guys, okay? And I've been watching for this carefully here because I know that Bam's getting a lot of heat, and I still think he impacts these games positively, but last night was just a mess on every level. They do not run things for him offensively. He is not a focal point of their offense. He is basically the fifth option when he is out there. The only way that Bam is going to get going offensively is if he's getting lobs or if he's getting offensive rebounds. He is not put in a position on this team where he is able to really become an offensive factor. And I don't know, Zach, if that's a good thing, a bad thing. I don't know. That's just what they do with him. And you're probably going to live and die with what you do at this point, right? You got guys like Max Strus, Caleb Martin that shoot, that drive to the basket. That's what it is. You're going to probably have to roll with what you do. Bam Adebayo is not a focal point of this offense.
Three,
is that something that they need to work
games
on
in
the
Philly
future?
Series, though.
Zach, he's just but here's the thing. He's getting his points because he's getting offensive rebounds or he gets the ball off a dish underneath. They are not going to run down the floor and give Bam the ball at the elbow and say, go to work. They're just not going to do that, I don't think.
I think you take Williams right to the hoop. I think you take Horford right to the hoop. You got to find somewhere to get him involved because I do agree with the texter. He's taken 10 shots in two games.
Yeah, and maybe they do make that adjustment. It's certainly possible. But that is, at the moment, at least my takeaway from why Bam Adebayo is what he is. You know, and this guy, he scored 19 points a game in the regular season.
19-10 guy, right. That's just what
he
was.
I don't know, maybe someone's seeing something I didn't see, but the Heat do not seem like a team that wants to get him involved.
No, they don't. That's why if there's adjustments to make, if there's something you need to do, it's how do we get Bam more involved? Because it's just not working the other way right now. Maybe it worked in game one, obviously, because Jimmy had the game of his life, you know, like over the last week at least. But that's why I go back to what you said where the Heat are in big trouble. I don't think the Celtics are going to shoot 50% from three-point land all series long, and I don't think that the Heat are going to play as bad as defense as they did in that midway through the first quarter going into halftime all the way through. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think the Heat are going to play better. I think Boston is good. I don't think Boston is a team where you could just say, they got their one.
They're not Philly.
They're not Philly. They're not Atlanta. They're not Philly. at this point, Boston has as good as a chance as the Heat do to get to the finals. It's 1-1 in that series. Boston's a good team. But I don't think the Heat are going to play as bad as they did defensively. Midway through that first, through halftime, because in the second half they played a lot better. Not great, but a lot better than they did, at least in that first half. So I'm worried, but I'm not as worried. With the Panthers, I am deathly worried for this team right now. You had two games at home, and you pooped the bed. Two games, total poop job, and you lost in the worst way possible for this team last night. I think they could have lost 10-0 last night and felt better about themselves than losing with 3.8 seconds left.
Couple of texts here before we hit the break. Stop it. Bam has a million chances to score, and he chickens out. He's in his head so much offensively. Don't make excuses for Bam. It's not an excuse. It's just an observation.
Right?
Right?
I mean, I don't know it's if he's chickening out. I think Hollywood's more is closer to being right than
I just
whether
don't
I'm
think
arguing
that
with
they,
him. They don't call plays for Bam. They don't come down the court and you see Spoelstra do his little, you know, the gang signs where he's calling a play out there. And the play is, okay, Jimmy, get the ball on the corner, drop it into Bam, and let him work. I agree with Hollywood there. The difference is they need to get him more involved, I think, because they need a second guy out there to score. And you can't every night depend on Gabe Vincent and Max Strus and even P.J. Tucker at times, which my fingers are crossed that everything's okay with P.J. Tucker, because if something is wrong with P.J. Tucker, that's about as big as a hit right now for this Heat team as anyone being out for this next game.
I was at the Heat game. The Heat fans should be embarrassed. Make any excuse you want about the fan base, but the arena was 30% empty.
I don't care about the arena.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't care about the arena.
I'm so over, by the
me
way.
Me and Hollywood being in the stands not going to make a 30-point difference.
I said this, I don't know if maybe it was yesterday. I'm so over. Like, all these Philly people are like, the fans are here late. The fans
don't
leave
care.
The fans do this.
I don't care.
I don't care. Who cares, man?
It's nice
it
to see
it has nothing
it
to do with the game,
right.
Guys. It has nothing to do with the game. It is what it is. Where is Robinson? Duncan Robinson is out of the Heat's rotation unless they're down by 50.
And by the way, he was
night.
In there last night for some, some playing time, and he looked like a guy that and you were right, and I'm wrong. Like, I have to admit that last week or the week before when we were talking about when I said, dude, just go in there and shoot, you're a shooter. He went in there, and he looked like he was shaking on every shot.
It's human nature. Though.
Yeah,
it's human nature. You get pulled from the rotation. If anyone out there has been on any kind of team.
This guy's rattled.
And you get benched,
he's rattled.
It's going to take a negative effect. And, you know, he makes this X amount of dollars. He should be ready to go. Yeah, he should be. But I get that is going to get in his head. Couple more here. What are you proving how to overreact to a loss? I'm not trying to overreact to this morning, guys, but that was bad.
Yeah, it was
bad. That was a rough one last night. That was a rough one. Miami's got to defend better. That to me, and there's a lot of texts about Bam this morning, the defense is the big issue. Jimmy Butler came out before the series started and said, I'd love to see this thing played in the
90s.
Jimmy, they had 90 after three.
I don't think
they need to play the fourth
about.
Quarter.
I don't think that's what he was talking about, right?
Before they had 90.
Oh, God.
Bunch of texts coming in here. We'll get to them. As we continue
last
on
night
here
sucked.
This morning.
It
was a tough one. It was a tough one. We're going to bounce back, though. Tonight, we got, I told you, we got Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, the new movie on Disney Plus coming out tonight.
Look
so we're going to bounce back with that. You know who does the voices of the chipmunks?
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't, you know,
so,
no chance.
So John Mulaney does one.
Okay.
Big, big John Mulaney fan.
I know that
love
guy.
John
right.
Mulaney.
Right.
And Andy Samberg. Who I'm also a huge fan of.
Wow.
Andy Samberg is the best. So those two guys do the Chipmunks. So,
that's the Friday night edition of the
like,
Hollywood household?
Well, so it's a kids movie that hopefully there'll be like some funny parts of for the adults.
Right. Oh, no, I mean, you have to sit through it no matter what.
That'll be the early one. And now I've also figured out that the Batman movie, the new Batman movie.
Yeah,
which
it's on HBO Max or
if
something
you know
like that,
my
right?
my home situation, I can't go to a movie theater right now.
Right.
It's just not in the cards for me. So I was sitting there, you know, the other night I'm flipping through and I noticed that the Batman is on the HBO app.
Right.
I also noticed that it's 3 hours long.
It's long.
So, again, if you know my situation at home, carving out a 3-hour block
between
you know, not having the kids around and trying to stay awake, not the easiest thing in the world. But I would like to watch that. I don't know if anyone out there, I'm sure some of our people have seen it.
I don't think I finished it, but I saw most of it. I don't think I got all 3 hours.
You finish it?
Yeah, because I can't do 3 hours at one time.
Okay, because here's the weird thing. So people told me we're completely getting off the topic of these teams,
and I
apologize.
Listen, we need something else to make me feel good this morning.
I saw people saying it's like as good or better as some of the like the Christian Bale movies.
It's pretty good. It's
and
it's the way
here's the thing
it.
I would say, Zach. There is no way I would have turned off any of the three Christian Bale Batmans. at any point for a rest, an intermission, whatever it was that you did.
Right.
So, I don't know. You got me a little concerned here. I heard that this one is a little slower, but
I think that might have been it because I first have a three-hour movie to me. If I'm not in the movie theater for like – because I do like those comic book movies. I tell you all the time. I'm one of those dorks. Like Doctor Strange came out, I saw it. When these movies come out, I go to the movie theater and I try to see
Strange.
It. Like I saw it. I saw these movies.
Okay.
And if it's 3 hours in the theater, I'm pretty good. If it's 3 hours and I'm on my couch or I'm, you know, in the bed or on the iPad, whatever it is, I tend at that point to fall asleep a little quicker than I would in the movie theater. But I didn't like four different increments get to like the last. I'm probably got about 25 minutes left in that movie. I like it pretty much so far.
All right. Well, that's my big evening. One other thing that I am doing this weekend, I'm going to the Inter-Miami game on Sunday. My first game, first Inter-Miami game. And we're going to have the goalie from Inter-Miami, the keeper, join us this morning. Drake Callender had a clean sheet the last time out here for Inter-Miami. And now we're getting a text on which is the best Batman, Michael Keaton.
Come on, stop that.
Get out of here.
Come on.
Michael Keaton.
You can't really say that.
Which is the who's Batman in the one with Jim Carrey? That's the worst of the Batmans, right?
Isn't it Clooney?
No.
It's not Clooney?
No.
Where was Clooney?
I'm talking about the one with Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones, where he's like the Riddler. Jim Carrey's the Riddler and Tommy Lee Jones
Keaton,
is
right?
Two-Face. I don't know, but the Christian Bale movies are like not only the best Batman movies, they're best like comic book movies of all time.
The Christian Bale ones were good.
In my humble
opinion. The Bane
opinion.
One, yeah, those are good ones.
All right, we got to take a break. We got a bunch of texts coming in. Zach in Hollywood, we are in for Joe here this morning. We got a lot to get to here on the show. We'll take a quick pause back after this. There we go, Ed.
I like it.
All right.
Ed does a
great
job.
That'll get you going on a Friday. Yeah. There we go, man.
Ed does it, man.
Roads are a mess out there.
Everything's a mess right
Hollywood
now.
Hollywood and Zach in for Joe here this morning. Joe didn't want to show up and face the music here today on
Smart.
A tough... tough double loss Friday.
Yeah, you're talking about a mess. We're a mess right now.
Yeah, man. We'll try to keep it upbeat for you here the best that we can. Not easy to do after the Panthers ripped your guts out last night. A loss of 4 seconds to go. The Heat, a little slow and painful there as they kept you around for about 7-8 minutes there, and you could have turned it off. But if you're like me and you stayed in there and you saw the fourth,
kept
third
thinking,
quarter,
right?
Third quarter, they got it to 17.
Yeah.
Oh, man, there's 3 minutes left in the third here. If they can get it to 12, we
12,
got a
12
shot.
Was the number. 12 or 14 was the number in my group text message
didn't
to
happen.
Keep watching, and we didn't get there. And then I didn't hear anything back from the text message till this morning.
So
I knew at that point everybody gave up.
Did not happen. P.J. Tucker, by the way, is going to get an MRI in his knee.
My fingers are crossed.
That's great. So that's not great.
You can't lose P.J. Tucker
at
this
point.
Not
good for the Heat here. Yeah,
no.
P.J. Tucker's way too important for this team here. The Heat are in a little bit of trouble as they get set to head to Boston for Game 3 on Saturday night. That one will be on 790 The Ticket. Now, the Panthers will try to, Zach, I guess keep their season alive in Game 3 because if they lose Game 3, they are certainly
done. Well, it's curtains
done.
At that point. I
thought Game 2, you know, they had to win that one. They did not, obviously. So they will go to Tampa. It'll be a back-to-back. So the Panthers can essentially have their season end in like 24 hours.
Right.
If they don't win one of these games on either Sunday or Monday. Sunday, the game is in the afternoon, and then
is
Monday,
1 p.m.
the game
on Sunday, right, yeah.
And Monday, the game is at night, so maybe it's 30 hours.
Right, it's like maybe a 36-hour, not 48,
off
right?
Of my,
whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Listen.
My hours there, but.
They come out, and they don't win this first game in Tampa. I mean, this is just going to be a heartbreaking end to this season. Heartbreaking end. You want to lose in a 7-game series and lose in game 7, that stinks. At least you put up a fight. Right now, they're not even putting up a fight. They're not. And I know it was close. Oh, it was just a 1-goal game. It's not like they lost 10-1. I know. I get it. But the way that they played all season, this is not – I don't care if Tampa Bay has kind of got their number or not. Because they do. It's obvious. But come on. Like, put up a little bit more of a fight. Like, guys aren't playing
it's
well.
It's been incredibly disappointing.
Oh,
Jonathan
man.
Huberdeau, Barkov, they've been
missing
no shows
in action.
In this one.
Right.
Unfortunately, Uyghur makes a disastrous decision late in the game last night, and you know he has not played particularly well either. So he It's gonna get blasted a little bit here today. That was a critical mistake. You know, he left his guy wide open right over the middle of the ice there, and that was an easy goal for the Lightning
with
to
4 seconds
with
left.
4 seconds left. It's about as rough as it gets, Zach. So last night, just to walk you through this, so I'm watching the Heat game, and as things are getting out of hand in the Heat game, I go, all right, let's flip back to the Panthers. I'll make sure they got it to overtime. And I flip back and I see the goal, and it's just like, wow.
I flip back. There was 4 and change left because I watched the first 2 periods and I switched to Heat. Then I was going to come back to the Panthers, which is fun. I like that. I like kind of having so much going on. I know you said I want to just focus on one game, which would have been ideal, but in this situation that we're in, that's how I did it the other night also. Watched the first 2 periods, taped the beginning of the Heat, then I went back and fast-forwarding. I'm all over the place. I get back to the Panther game with 4 and change left. It's 1-1. Then we get back to that, like, last minute. I'm thinking to myself, all right, just hold on or score that little nitpicking goal here to get the win. But let's just get to OT and let's win this game in OT. 10 seconds left, 8 seconds left. All right, let's just go. I'm starting to get up, change positions, going to move into the couch, get away from everybody so I can watch overtime in peace. 3.8, they score. I could not believe. You're right. I don't know which one I would pick. I'm going to have a tough decision whether I want to just get beat up like playing, you know, fighting Mayweather and going 10 rounds, but the entire time he's kicking my ass, but I know I'm going to lose, or just Tyson in 29 seconds just knocking me out cold. And that's basically what happened in that Panther game. You got knocked out cold right at the end of that game.
I want to hear from Panther fans, by the way, they're at the game last night. Let us know. I mean, that had to be – I mean, it sounded, you know, on TV, obviously the energy got sucked out of that building at that goal. That's to point out the obvious there. But if you're at that game last night, let us know. And then if you're at the Heat game, man, I feel for you too, because that game was over quick. It was over quick. And I know, you know, you kind of hold out hope, and you don't want to pay that kind of money to go to a game and leave after a quarter
right.
or two, Zach. But that one at halftime had no shot for the Heat. They were down 70-45. At the half it was a shocker, man. It was an absolute shock. I thought the Heat would win. I bet the Heat last night. I took the Heat in that game. I thought
the Heat would win also.
I loved it. That line went down to 1 when they announced that Smart and Horford were going to play.
Horford got out of that protocol pretty quick.
Texas says, Woody, Bam was scoring 20 points a game until Embiid came back. Since then, the milk carton. How the hell does Bam out of bio get a complete playoff pass?
Not for me.
He doesn't get a pass.
Not for
me. But here's the thing that, again, I go back to on Bam. I just don't think they are making the effort right now. I know they're not. They're not getting him involved enough in the offense. They're just not. And that may, you know, that's obviously by design, right? There's not.
Well, you got to call play for Bam.
Not, yeah, but.
Bam doesn't. Well, no, I would say
maybe
almost.
Maybe it's just not what they want to do, Zach. I don't know. I can't read Spo's mind. All right. Spo is one of those coaches that has a different rotation every, you know, all the time. He's rotating guys in and out. There's different games. I don't know what his mindset is.
But there's
is,
certain
Zach.
Times.
But I can tell you that they are not, clearly not coming up the floor and saying,
calling
hey,
a play
let's
for
get
him.
Bam right. ISO here and let's see what he can do. Let's get Bam active and going in this game. Bam is a beneficiary of when things are going well. He is able to get lobs and easy passes underneath. He's able to get, you know, offensive rebounds and putbacks, and that's how he gets his, and he impacts the game defensively. But they are clearly not coming down the floor
no.
and saying, hey, let's get Bam the ball. Let's
no,
let him
happening.
Go to work right. and be the second best player on this team.
But I like also when there's a guy covering Bam that you know Bam's going to beat or can beat, when they get him the ball at the elbow. And just make a little room for him and just either let him take that jumper, that little 15-foot jumper, or back him in a little bit. And I haven't seen that at all. So you're right. I don't even see where it's like, hey, no one's open on the jumper. Jimmy's getting, you know, defended pretty well. Struess can't get open. Gabe's not open. Okay, Bam, let's just get it to him at the free throw line and see if he could work a little bit. They haven't been trying that.
Well, let me throw one more wrinkle at you. Let me throw this at you, too. Gabe Vincent, and I don't want this to come off as a knock on Gabe Vincent, because I think he's been fantastic.
He has been.
For what he is, he right. has been fantastic for this team. He is not Kyle Lowry.
No.
And if you had Kyle Lowry out there running this offense, I think things would look a lot different.
I think
so
it would, too.
It is a big piece to be missing. Kyle Lowry has been one of the best point guards in the NBA for the better part of a decade here. He is an all-star.
Yep.
He is a top point guard
player.
In the league.
Right.
And that's why Miami brought him in, because it felt like last year, it felt like they were really lacking at that point guard spot. No knock on Goran, who, by the way, they could really use right now.
Right. Sitting in the stands with his kid.
Yeah, exactly. But I think them missing Kyle Lowry is a critical piece here. You know, offensively, defensively, I just think he would make a huge difference right now. I don't think he's going to go the rest of this series, Zach, from the stuff
I keep
seeing.
That would be a disaster, right.
And the way he was limping around last game, I just don't. I don't see it. Texas says if they felt he was a go-to scorer, they would go to Bam. They know he can't do it despite being paid as if he can.
No, I don't believe in that because he showed during the season when they did call his number that he was pretty good offensively. Is he an offensive threat? No. Is he pretty good offensively? Yeah. They just haven't tried it. It just seems like in these first two games they haven't tried it at all. And I don't even know how, because it did in the Philly series. He had three 20-point games.
Yeah.
I mean, he did score. They
again,
did call his
Zach,
number.
When things are going well, it's easy for him to get involved.
He had one of those 20s in a loss.
When it looks like it did last night and you need guys to manufacture offense, I don't know if he's capable of doing that. I really don't. But
well,
they
no
are certainly not giving
him
a chance.
Where's Tyler Hero?
They are certainly not giving him a chance. Tyler Hero was not great last night.
Because you just said it. When you have to kind of manufacture it, you're not running your plays, you're down points, you got to get back in the game, you got to depend on guys like that. And Tyler had 11, and that's okay. 11 points, not bad off the bench, but that's not Tyler Hero.
We have to go to break here. We got a lot of text coming in, 305-567-0560. Sincerely appreciate everyone sending these in here this morning. We should try to end every segment on a happy note.
Okay.
Like, we should try to do that somehow, and I will tell you that Val Kilmer was the Batman in Batman
That
Forever.
Doesn't make me very happy.
Well, it's a change of subject.
Oh. But Val Kilmer wasn't a great Batman.
No, he was the worst Batman ever.
Right.
Someone says Keaton is the best Batman.
I don't know.
Even know if I've even seen those.
Really? The early ones were good.
And it was not George Clooney. It was not. I don't even know when Clooney might have been in the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Or Arnold Schwarzenegger is like Mr. Freeze or whatever.
Yeah, Freeze, Mr. Freeze. And the someone was the plant lady. In that one also.
Poison Ivy.
Well, that's it. Yeah, well done.
Plant lady.
I don't know what her name was. Character name is. Plant Lady and Iceman.
I can't imagine a Batman movie being better than any of the three with Christian Bale.
Did you like Affleck? His name Ben
who?
Affleck.
Ben Affleck
playing Batman. He played in
those
like
the
Superman
thing. Not
and, like
not
the Justice
great.
League movie. Right?
Not great. Now I am a Ben Affleck fan. I do like his work. Right. Yeah, I think he's a very good actor, but not as Batman.
Okay.
He's all right in those like serious roles.
Right. When he's playing a Boston guy.
Yeah, he's like the Boston bank robber. I love that movie with Jeremy Renner.
He's always someone from like the Northeast. Like he's always in one of those movies.
All right, we got a bunch of texts coming in here. So we'll get to some stuff there, and we will play the sound from Jimbo Fisher.
We need that all morning.
If you haven't heard it yet, Jimbo Fisher, a little clap back at Nick Saban yesterday. How about that, man? We're driving home yesterday, and I see on Twitter, because I'm stuck in traffic here, I open up Twitter, it goes, Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher, 10 a.m. Central Time, press conference.
Not planned.
I'm like, what is it? It's the middle of May.
Right, not planned.
And this guy.
What does he need a presser for after spring football? Give me a break.
All right, so we have that. We have Batman. We have a lot of stuff because I mentioned my big night tonight, the Rescue Rangers out on Disney+. If your kids are in the car with you now, I'm sorry. But you got to watch that tonight. That's the big. That's the big feature tonight. John Mulaney and Andy Samberg.
Did you get your fancy popcorn
so.
For it?
No,
you should have ordered some of my fancy popcorn, man.
I've been doing something new at the house.
Uh oh, this doesn't sound good.
I bought this like we have to go to break or whatever. It's like a little plastic piece. Ed, you know what I'm talking about here. I'm gonna bring Ed. I gotta bring Ed in. Ed just sits back there. Doesn't
Ed's
want to talk.
A silent assassin. Man.
It's like a Tupperware almost, like a rubber, and you put the kernels in. You put a little like plastic top
on
it.
The
and it
oven?
Pops. No, in the microwave.
Oh, wow.
But you use the kernels, like not the microwave ones.
Right.
Because someone told me that the microwave bags would kill you. There's something in them or something.
Oh, great.
I don't know. I've been eating those things my whole life.
I'm still here, right? I've been eating microwave popcorn in those bags my whole life.
Something's going to kill us. I don't know if it's going to be that.
I hope it's not popcorn.
Anyway, I've been trying. It actually comes out very fresh in those things. But we'll hear from Jimbo Fisher. This guy says we need Jimbo Fisher to talk about the Heat and Panther losses.
We do.
Dave Hyde's going to join us. We are going to talk, by the way, for our soccer fans out there, we're going to talk some soccer today with the goalie of Inter Miami. Drake Callender is going to join the show. I saw some of his stuff yesterday. He's got a great story, and the team is coming off a nice game. So we'll talk to him later on. We'll talk a little soccer. We don't do that a lot here on the show, so we wanted to do that today. Inter Miami's got a big match coming up, 6 o'clock on Sunday. I'll be there. I'll be in attendance for that one. I'm excited, man.
Booth like Meet Hollywood.
I could sign. Okay. I can sign for people. I'll just sign Joe's name.
That's it.
All right, we'll take a pause. More to come here at QAM. All right, welcome back to the Joe Rose Show. Hollywood and Zach in for Joe today. We're not going to do the traditional headline segment here today because I don't have Joe here to react. And I'm going to bring this up probably again on Monday. This flashed across yesterday. The Baltimore Ravens' longest tenured player in franchise history, the punter, announced his retirement. If you're wondering why we care about that, his name is Sam Koch.
K-O-C-H. Yeah.
Sam Koch. But
gonna miss him.
I was blown away because I go, all right, this has to be, right? And so we watched a little video. It is Cook, apparently.
What? What do you mean Cook?
That's what
his K-O-C-H is Cook?
Koch is Cook, yeah.
I don't know. Really?
But anyway, great career.
Great career for Koch, Cook.
The 39-year-old Koch.
Right. That's crazy that he spells his name that and says Cook.
That's a long-tenured Koch, man. That's so good for him.
Right. Wow.
Speaking of Koch, it's a tough one last night for both of our teams.
Got hit in the,
Yeah. Right. Yeah, now you're taking it into the gutters.
Got hit in the cook last night, right.
Texas says it's hard to believe how one green-haired guy could make such a huge, he's a D with all these stars next to it. I think he meant, I'm going to say difference. Did he say mean to say difference there?
I'm
I don't
sure
think he meant
it wasn't
to say
difference,
Koch,
but right.
But
yeah
there's a difference there. Was at the game last night. So heartbreaking. What was Uyghur thinking? I think they will win at least one in Tampa Bay.
Okay, I hope you're right, sir or ma'am. I hope you are right, because if they end up getting swept in the series by Tampa, God, a horrible way to end the season.
I mean, Zach, listen, if I was betting my not-so-hard-earned money, I would probably have to go Tampa at this point. I don't. And you know how I feel about the Panthers. I've been a fan for a long time, and I was really excited about this, but it's not going to be easy to win up there. And
watch them win both. Come back 2-2.
Great.
God,
great.
That'd be great.
Hollywood mispronouncing names again is radio gold. I pride myself on pronouncing names. That's a big thing for me. Zach, suck at pronouncing names. You're the worst
terrible,
at it.
Right.
You're very bad at it. I tend Hooventus? To pride myself on
right,
it.
I'm still bad at
Hooventus.
I'm bad at all of it.
It was Hooventus was the team that played in that that interesting – was it Hooventus or was it someone else?
Nah, I don't really
it was
think
like
I know.
Everton or something. I saw that
– Everton?
They were doing – yeah, well, they were playing in that, like, relegation thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which I like, by the way. They should do that in the NBA. Koch had a strong leg. One would say he had the strength of three legs. Okay. what was I even talking about there? I lost myself with that text. I just completely derailed.
I don't even
know. With that text.
My pronouncing names.
Oh yeah, your pronouncing names is bad. I do try to take pride in pronouncing names. Kanye Brown will be the reason our season ends on Monday instead of Tuesday.
Right.
There you go.
Kanye Brown.
Yeah, there's my name pronunciation.
There it is right
there. Once again.
And you read that one with a lot of confidence the other day. Like, you really thought it was Kanye Brown.
Yeah,
I mean, it's spelled Kane.
Is he good? Is he well-known? Like, is he
was the headliner for the Chili Cook-Off, like, 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Kanye Brown,
right? Kanye Brown.
Well, all right.
Good I mean, name. I don't know a lot of his music, but I went there and drank a lot of beer.
Oh,
a lot of beer.
That works.
At the Chili Cook-Off, right.
Accomplish that.
Yeah.
So we a couple texts about Jimbo Fisher. Ed, can we pull up Jimbo here and we'll play this again for you here. If you missed it yesterday, we played the stuff from Nick Saban. Basically went Nick Nolte, right?
He did.
They got the best players money
Blue
can
chips,
buy.
Right, he did. Right.
So he hit him with that. Said Texas A&M has the best players money can buy. Long story short,
he bought the entire recruiting class.
And
is basically what he said.
As we mentioned, we were driving home yesterday, and I get stuck in a bunch of traffic. And I look down at my phone, and I see that there is a press conference, Jimbo Fisher press conference,
out of nowhere
that he just scheduled. And do we have this ready, Ed? This is how things kicked off yesterday with Jimbo.
Coach, like to respond to some comments made last night in Alabama.
Yes, I would.
Yes, I would.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organ. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. That they're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parity in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parity. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right.
I like
there you
that
go.
The end.
By the way, that rant went on for, well, the better part of, what, 6-7 minutes?
Oh, at least,
that.
Right.
And there was more to it. We're not going to play the whole thing for
by
you.
By the way, October 8th in Tuscaloosa, Texas A&M. And by the way, not only that, but before that game, don't the Hurricanes get to see that entire bought recruiting class at College Station?
Do.
It's in Texas A&M, right?
You know, Zach, I would – it's important to me that the college football remains about the kids and about the actual product on the field and does not turn into a war of, you know, coaches that are making
upwards of $10 million each.
The money has gotten a little bit out of hand. Miami plays Texas A&M on the road September 17th. Speaking of money getting out of hand, just a really quick one here to get in. Jordan Addison, the guy from Pitt, best receiver in the country.
Yeah, right.
They are saying it could have been $3.5 million to go to USC.
I'm shocked.
Transferring
that low.
From Pitt to USC. If that's true, not great. Not great.
I'm shocked.
The money
it's only $3.5 million.
The money is getting it's getting out of hand a lot quicker than I thought it would, and you figured that this was going to be a problem here. Again, Zach, I go back to I thought this was going to be, you know, guys getting paid, you know, use their number on a jersey. You want them to sign for, you know, some people or something along those lines.
Well,
maybe
that
get
would
them a car to drive around. I didn't think it was going to be, you know, very high 6-figure to 7-figure
right.
deals for these collegiate athletes. And I just wonder how it changes the product on the field now. That's what I'm going to be very interested to see. You got a guy out there getting $3.5 million to play college football. How does that affect your ego and all that when you're a college athlete? That'll be another interesting wrinkle to see here.
Well, you can't take any of the money away, so it's not like you're going to give him 3.5, and if he doesn't have 70 catches for 1,200 yards and 15 touchdowns, you're only going to give him 1.75. So what is it going to do? It's just going to – you're going to see guys like that who are top-tier players. If they're going into that junior year, because you got to play 3 years in college, mm-hmm. you know, before you can go pro. If they're going into – they finished 2 years at Pitt, 2 years at USF, 2 years at here, whatever it is. They're really good, but they got 1 year left, and there's a really good team around the country, the USC, the Alabama. Listen, the Miami, the Florida State, the Notre Dame. And all of a sudden, you know you could go transfer somewhere else, play right away, be your number one guy, and make $1 million, $2 million, $3.5 million. You're going to see it a lot more.
You want a coach that doesn't complain, by the way. You can go play at the University of Miami. Go play for Mario Cristobal.
Right.
By the way, I have to give very quick here before we hit this break, I got to give a shout-out to the Miami Sports Information Department, the University of Miami. They were honored by the Football Writers Association of America for outstanding performance. So Cam Gorby is a good friend of mine, and the rest of the staff
love
over
Cam,
there.
Right.
You guys are the best, and congratulations on that. Well-deserved by the University of Miami Sports Information staff. So we do work very closely with them. So congratulations. We have the 8 o'clock hour coming up here. Dave Hyde, I'm sure, is going to be positive. And a positive note, Formula One just started right behind you, Zach. We got the practice live from Spain.
Wow.
A lot of fans out there to watch this one, man. I love Formula One now. I'm a Formula One junkie here.
I know it.
I think Max is going to win because he's the only driver I know.
What's his last
name?
Stapen.
We'll be back after this.